If you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Oh, the Lord's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we love You tonight. We're just so grateful and so thankful to be in Your house. And Lord, You said where two or three are gathered together in Your name, that You would be in the midst of us. And Lord, we see in the book of Revelation that Jesus, You say that You are the one that walks in the midst of the churches. And so we welcome You tonight. We thank You that You're here. Help us tonight. Help us to say what needs to be said and to do what needs to be done. Lord, this is, we're not trying to come to have a certain type of service. We want to have Your will take place. So, Father, be God here tonight. And, Lord, we thank You for utterance. We thank You for boldness. We thank You for revelation and insight and illustrations. Father, help us tonight. We thank You. We're going to a new level of glory. And, Father, I thank You that You're going to speak to every single heart that is here. Father, I'm always so humbled to see people come out during a midweek service when there's no doubt most people work and most people have work to go to the next day. People have things they could be doing at their homes and different things, but they've chose to stop their day and to come hear the Word of God. And so, Father, bless everybody. Lord, we're not here to play church. We're here to get something from heaven. And so we thank You for heavenly mail tonight. We thank You that You're the giver of good things. So that means we walk away blessed tonight. And we say this beforehand. We thank You for it. We give You the praise and we give You the glory for all that is to be accomplished, all that is to be done in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, "And when He had removed him," talking about Saul, "He," or God, "raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also He gave testimony and said," now this is God testifying about David, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Can we pull that up in the Amplified Bible? I want to read that real quick in the Amplified. Acts 13, 22 in the Amplified. "And when He had deposed him, He raised up David to be their king, of whom He bore witness and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will and carry out my program fully." The NIV, or the New International Version, let me go back to the King James up on the screen, please. It says, "After removing Saul, He made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Amen. That's quite a testimony to have from God. You know, it's one thing for people to say nice things about you. It's another thing for God to eternally record that you were somebody that was a man after His own heart. And I've often said, you know, if they put anything on my tombstone, if for some reason I don't see Jesus come back and live out a natural life, then I'll tell you, that's a thing to shoot for. Mike Anderson, a man after God's own heart, right? What better thing could they put on your gravestone than somebody that's after the heart of God, that's after God like that? And, you know, I want this church to have that testimony. Family Church South Dayton, a church that has a heart after God, not just the pastor, not just individual believers, but a church as a whole. You know, I truly believe that maybe every pastor believes this, but we've seen some neat things happen and some exciting things, and we've had some things been prophesied over the church and going back years and years. We had somebody, you know, in the church that's faithful, that's, you know, a Word of God person that was hesitant, didn't for years tell me this, but had a vision, you know, that years ago in January of 1979 saw this building over there that this would be a church, praise God, and in that vision saw people coming in and out. And the amazing thing about that is when they told me that, they had no idea the month and year that I was born. I was born January of 1979. The same month and year that they had that vision, he saw the church that his own pastor, in the month that his own pastor was going to be born. That's pretty amazing. You know, Pastor Michael, years ago, had the Lord say to him, there's a great door and effectual in South Dayton. We've seen that. There's some exciting things. And I believe that this church is special. It's got a call on it. And I just see such a heart for people here. And again, maybe other pastors feel this way, but I just feel like this is the cream of the crop, you know, people that are hungry for God and want to see God move and want to see God do what God wants to do here. And I believe we could all get this testimony, that we're a church with a heart after God. And, you know, we see that the Bible says David was raised up into that place, that God promoted David into being the king. And he was able to do that because of David's heart. And so somebody with that kind of heart is in line for promotion. Amen? Somebody with that kind of heart is in line for good things, for God to raise them up and to use them. And so I just want to take a little bit of time tonight and just look at David in a certain aspect of what the Spirit's been dealing with me. He's been dealing with me about this for a couple months, and I've just been waiting for the release to preach this message, and I finally got it today. And so we just obey God around here, you know. I don't do any, mini, miny, mo, and, you know, I mentioned about I don't go on sermons.com. Well, we found out there really is a sermons.com. So now you're going to go back and check all my messages and see if I've been getting them off there. I haven't. I didn't even know that existed. I just thought it was funny. But I guess there really is. But we don't do that, you know, or just go back and look at something to say. And we just follow the Spirit of God, and tonight's the night to release this. So, hallelujah. Amen. So let's take a look at David tonight. A few things that talk about David having a heart after God. I mean, that was eternally recorded about him. I mean, maybe you're not in the God-pleasing business as much as I am, but I'll tell you what, I can't think of anything better for God to say about somebody than, because God's heart was so pure, God's heart was so wanted to be loving, God's heart was so wanting to be helpful to mankind, and God said, David is a guy that has it. One translation said his heart beats like God's heart beats. Man, that's awesome. And maybe you don't care or but to me, it's like, no, this is what I want to strive for. I want God to say that. And also, if that's what it takes to be promoted into great things, well, then we better get there. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So Psalm 27 and verse 8. I want to take a look at some things about David. How was he a man after God's own heart? He was after God's heart. And then God also said in that verse, he'll do everything I want. He'll fulfill my will. So not only was he after God's heart, but he was after God's plans. Amen. He wanted what God wanted. Amen? He was in it for himself. He wanted what God wanted. Now, there's no doubt David had his situations and things, but his heart was right. And number one thing I want you to see about having a heart after God, and I believe this will help us going forward, is that he desired to be in God's presence. Psalm 27 and verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Now, that doesn't really fully bring it out as much as the Amplified of that verse. If you pull up the Amplified, Debbie, that'd be a blessing. You said, seek my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of necessity and on the authority of your word. We can go back to the King James. One thing we see about David having a heart after God is that David desired or craved or sought to be in God's presence. He wanted to be around his heavenly Father. He wanted to be in the vicinity of where his heavenly Father was. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 9, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9, you know, we're going to look at some things tonight that maybe will correct some things, you know, correct heart issues. I'm so thankful for the word of faith. And what is the word of faith? We taught a service one night, because sometimes we get a bad rap for being a word of faith church, because, you know, word of faith churches have gotten into the ditches and things. Listen, we're the word of faith. What does that mean? We take God at his word and we have faith in his word. That's all the word of faith is. Amen. We put our faith in the word of God. You know, people call us naming and claiming and stuff. Well, the only thing we can name and claim is what the Bible says we can have or what God says we can have. We can't go outside the boundaries of the word. But I'm so thankful for the camp that we're in that actually takes God's word seriously and looks at the promises of God and actually tells people he don't take faith to receive them. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says, For by faith and patience you receive his promises, knowing that there's more than one promise, that there's healing, there's prosperity, there's victory, there's joy, there's freedom from emotional and physical torment and things like that, and mental torment. And I'm glad for our camp that we can take God at his word and we can be blessed, and it increases our lives. Amen. And I truly believe the reason to be increased is for kingdom purposes, right? We need to walk in healing, because if we walk in healing, we can be a blessing to people. Amen? If we walk in prosperity, we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God, to be the body of Christ. And so I truly believe that that's the number one reason. But I think at times, with the word of faith doctrine and the word of faith and all these blessings that we can receive, I think we can get sidetracked in looking at God for the stuff that he can give us instead of just looking at him for who he is. And that's a heart issue. And so David sought him. And Matthew 7 and verse 9 says, "What man is there of you, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent?" Verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" So he tells us that we can look at our relationship with him the same way we look at a relationship with a natural parent and a child. Because he says a natural parent does good things for their children, but how much more will the father do good things for his children? So we can look at some things from a natural side, but just know that it's a how much more when we look at him. But we can look at it that way. And when I was meditating on this about David and heart after God, God testified, "He has a heart after me. He's after my heart," God said about him. He's not after my stuff. He's not after all the good things. He's after my heart. He's after me, God says. And David inquired to be his president. I was thinking about myself as a dad. And I just love the fact that when my kids want to be in my presence just to be around me. Amen? Now, Abby, we're working on her. Amen? Sometimes Abby just looks at me as a handout, you know, and I'll ask her, you know, "Hey, come upstairs with me in the office and sit with me." And she'll say, "Can I do this?" I'll say, "No, I just want you to sit with me." She ain't interested. But Caleb, on the other hand, he loves being around me all the time. No matter what we're doing, whether he's getting anything, not getting anything, whether it's working and helping me, whether it's just sitting there watching a hunting show, whether it's going for a drive to the store, he wants to be around me 24/7. Don't you, bud? All the time wants to be around me. And you know what that does for me as a dad? Because Caleb's not, "Well, Dad, I'll ride to the store with you, but can I get a toy? I'll ride to the store with you if, I'll do this with you if, I'll come upstairs with you if." No, "Dad, I just want to go with you. Can I go with you? Can I go with you? Can I be with you?" Amen. He just wanted to be in my presence. And God desires us to want to be in his presence. Amen. He doesn't want us to have to be forced to be there. Amen. David said, "I will, as my vital need, I will seek your face to be in your presence." And when, you know, in those few times that Abby actually throws away her selfishness, right? She's a little more selfish at that age. And actually just wants to be with me and crawl up with me. It just does so much for me. And when's the last time that we've just gone to God just to be in his presence? And we'll show you a few things about how to do that tonight. Just to be with him. No need, not wanting anything. Just to be with him. Amen? It gets old when somebody just always looking to come for a reason. Amen? Coming over just for a reason. And that gets old. And so the first thing we see is David desired to be in God's presence. Now, go to Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Taking it a little step further, if you're a note taker, you'd write it this way. Number two is, in God's presence, he just wanted God. He wasn't there for the, taking it a little step further from step one, he wasn't there for the handout. He wasn't there just for, you know, do I want to go that route? Let's see here, my spirit. I think we need to, you know. Well, let's read this verse and point this out about David. Then I want to go somewhere and it'll help you. He said, "Oh God, you are my God." This is David. "Early will I seek you." Wow. That must be where they got the song. "When I woke up this morning, you were on my mind." Y'all know that song? Come on, you know that song. That must have been where the inspiration. David was a psalmist. I wonder if he's a writer of that song. "Wake up in the morning, you're on my mind, Lord. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." He says, now look at this in verse 1. "Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, Father." Not your prosperity. Not what your favor can do for my life. Not what your wisdom can bring me. Not what your healing touch can do for my life. Lord, I just seek you. I just want to be with you. Praise God. He was after God. And so many times I really believe that we get so wrapped up, and again, thank God for the promises and the blessing and what faith can bring us. But we get so wrapped up in it that is the only relationship we have from Him, is us coming to Him when we need, want. And that is so shallow. That is not somebody that's after the heart of God. And we see the picture of somebody that's after the heart of God. "I'll seek you early. My soul is thirsty for you. My flesh longs for you." Praise God. And I believe that so many times people have such a shallow relationship with God. And they come into church, they get born again, they learn, wow, I don't have to go to hell, they receive that. Then they learn about prosperity, and they learn about healing, and learn about victory. And they learn how to get from God without ever learning about Him or knowing Him. Amen. Go to Job. This is where I was kind of stirring in my heart to go. Go to Job 22 in verse 1. 22:21. I don't know if I said 1, but 22:21. Job 22:21. Now look at this. Checking something here real quick. "Acquaint now thyself with Him." What's he saying? Become acquainted with God. Yes. An acquaintance is somebody that you know about, that you spend time with, that you get to know. Amen. He's your Father. Hallelujah. But what's the benefit of it? "Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you." Hallelujah. "Acquaint now thyself with Him." And I don't know, I wonder how many people know anything about God. And I'm not saying you don't or that you do, but I'm just saying I just wonder at times. I just use this as an example. This was heartbreaking. I remember a man in one of the churches one time. I was able to help him along with Pastor Tim of the Jamestown Church. And he came into church and he was hurting. I mean, his life was absolute mess. I mean, you name it. I mean, it was terrible, dire situation. And he got born again, thank God, and started learning about faith and what faith can do and what the power of words were. And his life got turned around. I mean, he was a miracle, sign and a wonder, amen? And all of a sudden he disappeared and wasn't there for a while. Finally was able to get a hold of him and said, what's everything okay? What's going on? Where have you been? He said, I'm not going anymore. I said, why? What happened? He said, I don't need to go anymore. So what are you talking about? He goes, my life got turned around. I'm good. I don't need that God stuff anymore. That's what he said. Well, that's somebody that was after the stuff and not after God. That's a true story. His life was turned around, never developed a relationship with God, never knew who God was. How shallow. How shallow. Never knew. "Acquaint thyself with Him and be at peace." Praise God. And so I wonder, I remember going to Bible school, and one of the first classes I had was a faith class, but talking about the foundations of faith. And that's kind of where the book that I wrote came from, was that inspiration so many years ago. Faith, we believe God for our healing, right? We believe God for our prosperity. We believe God for our blessing. Now, he has to work through our faith, but ultimately, he's the source. He's the power. Well, to have that no staggering faith, that full persuasion faith, you have to truly believe that God is for you and that wants what you're believing him for. If you have any doubts that he wants you healed, that doubt's going to cancel out that faith. If you have any doubts that he wants you blessed, it's going to cancel out that faith. Amen? Amen. I had just like recently I had someone come up to me and say, you know, I could use a bigger house and I want a bigger house, but I feel like I'm too covetous. I said, you don't have a revelation of how your God feels about you. You need a house and want a new house. He's got mansions for you in heaven. He's okay with you having a good home down here. Amen. And I said, you just don't know who your God is. And so many people, they have no idea who God is. And I remember I took that to heart. I said, wow, I want to be a faith giant. Now here I was at Brother Hagin's school, and you heard all the stories about Brother Hagin and how what faith brought him and how faith got him off a deathbed and all the financial miracles and all the blessings and the what he was able to do in the kingdom. And here I was at a faith school, and I took it serious that the foundation of faith is knowing who God is, because God is who we're going to get it from. And so I started studying the Word and fellowshipping with the Word and trying to figure out who my God is. And I found out he's loving, and I found out he's merciful, and I found out he's a healer, and I found out he's a provider, and I found out he's my victory, he's my peace. And I found out all these things about him, and it built so much confidence in me having a relationship with him and knowing who he is. And I just wonder, how well do people really know God? Have you ever taken a time to really find out who he is, what he's all about? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, David was after God. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, talking about a man after God's own heart. Well, are you somebody that God would say, that person's after me? Are you after his stuff? Are you glad and just super excited about what it can do for your business, what it can do for your finances, what it can do for your kids? What about him? Praise God. What about him? Colossians 3. Remember over there in Revelation chapter 2 where he was talking to the church of the Laodiceans? And he said, I know your works. And he went on and praised them. He said, but there's one thing I have against you. You left your first love. Remember that? You left your first love. He said, repent and do the first works. Well, what were the first works? Remember? You got born again, and you just couldn't get enough of his word. You just couldn't get enough of him. You were so excited about God. Amen. That was the first thing that happened to you. And then all of a sudden, time goes by, and it just fades away. Well, that doesn't work too well in natural relationships. Amen. Colossians. Where's Colossians? General Electric Power Company. There we go. If you then, 3 and verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, what's that? God. Seek him where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Is your affection set on God? Or is your affection set on what God can give you? Come on, do you have to, I can't answer that for you. Are you after him? Lord, I just want to bless you. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to get to know you. Or is it, Lord, I'm just going to use you as a heavenly vending machine. You know, the only time I go to a vending machine is when I want something. I don't fellowship with a vending machine. I don't spend time with a vending machine except when I want to get something. Then I take it and I leave. Is God your heavenly vending machine? Is that all he is to you? Is there no relationship there? Is it so shallow? Now remember, acquaint yourself with him and be at peace thereby good shall come unto you. I truly believe that's why David was so successful in some things. He knew God. He knew him. He had an intimate personal relationship with God. Do you have an intimate personal relationship with God? Where's your affections? Amen. Seek those things which are above. Well, how do we seek those things which are above? Well, there's three ways that we can real quick just look at of how we can seek him and get more of him. Psalms 23 and verse 6. What did David say? He said, I will. He said, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And notice goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life are attached to something. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 92:13, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I met with a couple recently and I told them, I said, listen, if you want this relationship to be blessed, you want to go forward and be as blessed as you can with God, you need to plant yourself in a local church. You need to plant yourself to flourish. If you want to flourish, you got to plant yourself to get fed and to get watered. Why? That's where the presence of God is. That's where we learn about the ways of God. That's where we learn about God. Amen? He said, the result, goodness and mercy will follow me, and notice they're attached. So you could say it this way, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and the result of that will be goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Or you could call it flourishing. Church. What about John chapter 1 and verse 1? Talking about in His presence, seeking Him. Heart checkups tonight. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's the Word. Amen. What's a way we can seek Him? Spending time with the Word. The Word has become so dry for so many people. It's just become a book that sits there and, well, if I get to it, I get to it. No. When I open the Word of God, I'm fellowshipping with my Father. I'm with Him. I'm spending time with Him. Praise God. Mindset, attitude changes. So church, the way to seek Him, in His house. I mean, this is His house. He said, the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord, where His presence is. The Word of God, John chapter 1, verse 1, and through prayer, seeking Him, right? My soul thirsts for You. I long for You. I will seek Your presence through prayer. Not to put anybody on the spot, but let's look at this from a practical, natural standpoint. When is the last time that you just got in His presence, didn't ask Him for anything, didn't bring up any of your problems, didn't release your faith for anything, but you just got in His presence to seek Him, to find out about Him, to just talk to Him, to love on Him, to dote on Him. It should be a regular occurrence. Amen. Amen. That's what makes the relationship with my son so special, is he's after his dad. He's not after what dad can bring him. There's no doubt dad can bring him good stuff. And there's no doubt dad can bring us good stuff. But Caleb's after me, and that means so much. Now, again, I know Abby's learning and she's growing and different things and different personalities, and there's things we have to work on with her, and she's younger and has more of a carnal nature than a 7-year-old would have. But the level of deepness, our relationship's way deeper with Caleb than it is with Abby. It's more surface with Abby and very shallow with Abby. Why? Dad's a vending machine most of the time, right? But with Caleb, it's hardly ever like that. I just want to be with you, Dad. I just want to be in Your presence. It's so special. When have we ever said, I just want to be with you, Dad. I just want to spend time with you. When's the last time you just prayed in tongues just because the Bible says, He that speaks in his own tongue speaks unto God. Where you weren't going for any specific thing. You said, I'm just going to fellowship with You, Father, and just take off praying in tongues. When's the last time? When's the last time you got in the Word and said, I want to find out more about You, Father? I don't need to read about how to get more money or how to get my healing or how to. I just want to know more about You and find out more about You. When's the last time? Spending time with Him. Hallelujah. Relationships don't do very well when the one party only comes to them when they need something. Amen? Hallelujah. So number one, he desired to be in God's presence. He said, I'm seeking it as my vital need. Number two, when he was in His presence, all he wanted was Him. After Him. And number three, Psalm 63. We'll go to verse 1 again just to read it. Remember, David was had a heart after God. He was after God. And he said, He'll fulfill my will. What did he say? He's after me and what I want. Dad, whatever you want. I want what you want, Dad. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Not going there, I want it my way, I want it my way. No. Why was God able to use David? David didn't bring his stuff to God and say, now you stamp your little magic dust over that and shake your little magic wand and bless what I'm bringing to you. No, David said, Father, what you want is what I want. Amen. And God said, that guy's in for promotion. Let's exalt him, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I guess I've opened a door. Now I got to go through it. Well, the church needs this and the church needs that. Well, you know, church needs it. It's the house of the Lord. That means God needs it. It's the truth. Amen. If the church needs something, God needs something. Well, I don't want to do nursery. I don't want to clean. I don't want to be an usher. I don't want to serve. Wait a second. Wait, what? Lord, you're not a person with a heart after God. Come on. People get, it gets quiet and uncomfortable in here when I start talking about stuff like this, but it's the truth. David went to him and said, Lord, I'm after you. I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you need. Amen. Come on. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's hard after God. I remember being in the parking lot at the Jamestown Church when I was the parking lot attendant and had that beautiful orange vest on. And, just parking cars and fresh out of Bible school, you know. Come out of Bible school raring and tearing to preach. Knew I had a call, didn't know I was called to be a pastor, but I knew I wanted to serve God. But I remember being out in that parking lot, and my heart was sincere. I've always strived. I've not done everything perfect, and I've made had missteps and not done the right things at times. But man, I'll tell you what, my heart is always to please God. I just want Him to be pleased and happy and satisfied. And I remember being in that parking lot and coming from a pure place and just saying, Father, I just love you so much. I wasn't looking at parking lot as a stepping stone, and I wasn't seeking Him. You know, God knows your motives in your heart. You can't try to manipulate the Father. You know, you can tell Him, oh Lord, I'm all with you. And if you're really not with you, He knows you're really not with Him. Amen? Come on, it's the truth. And so I was in the parking lot and I meant it. I had already consecrated myself. And I told Him, I said, Father, I promise you, if I'm never going to preach a sermon, if I'm called to be the parking lot attendant in this church for the rest of eternity until Jesus comes back or until I die, I said, I will be the best parking lot attendant that you've ever seen. And I'd be out in that parking lot and I'd just be worshiping God. Just after Him, Lord, I just want more of you. I just want you, Father. I just want to seek you, praise God. I just want you, Father. And then He dropped it in my heart. You're going to be a pastor. Well, what was that? That was likened to Samuel going up to David and said, this is the one to be anointed to be king. That was my anointed moment. You're going to be a pastor. You're not going to be in the parking lot. I'm going to exalt you to be a pastor, praise God. But my heart was after Him. I wasn't after a stepping stone. Well, I'm going to just be faithful out here. Hope that my pastor sees me, be faithful and show up and drop little hints. No, no, no. I'm just going to show up, be the best parking lot guy ever, and let God promote me. Amen. But I was after God. I didn't care. Amen. Amen. I was after God. Hallelujah. Psalm 63 and verse 1. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see your power and your glory. So as I've seen in your sanctuary. Now notice verse 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. The Bible says that David was after God's heart. We see that he sought God. He desired to be in His presence. We saw that he was after Him, just God, when he was in His presence. And we see this now, a part of what David was. He worshipped his Father. Amen? Amen. Worship showed God that David was after Him. Worship was the proof. Praise God. Now again, put you on the spot. Nobody's looking into your life, peeping Tom. But in a relationship, now, and again, I'm going to break it down with me and my kids. Because what is worship? Worship is worth. Showing somebody what they're worth. Showing somebody how you care about them. When is the last time, apart from when we sing our songs, that you were at home and just telling the Father, I love you so much? When's the last time you told the Father, I love you? When's the last time you told the Father, thank you? I'm just so honored to be your child. I just love you so much. When is the last time you did that apart from here? If you're not doing that on a consistent basis, you have a shallow relationship with your Father. How do I know? Because if my kids never told me they loved me, if my kids never talked about different things to me and wanted to be in my presence, it would say something about what's going on with that relationship. What's missing? What's off there? Come on. That's what I mean. People, if you get to know God, not only will it bless you and help you going forward and set you up for promotion, but it just opens up this deeper fellowship with Him. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. And if you could say, I don't ever talk to Him. I don't ever love on Him. Well, how does that work in natural relationships? And doesn't seem to, it can't work too well in a marriage and husband and you know, children and parents and different things. It just doesn't work very well. But look at this now in John 4 and verse 23. John 4 and verse 23. I'm trying to, what am I trying to do? Get real Christians around here. Christians that have deep relationship and fellowship with God. Yes, we're glad for all the promises the Word of Faith can get us. But I'm not after Him for His stuff. I'm after Him because He's who He is. Because I'm in love with Him. Amen? I've already told you. You know, be careful who you tell, but I'm in love with a man. And His name's Jesus. Amen? I am in love with Him. Just fellowship with Him and tell Him things and talk to Him. John 4 and verse 23. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Well, I think it's sad, number one, that He's got to seek for people that will worship Him. But He's seeking it. Somebody that will worship Him. Now again, before you get thinking, my goodness, what an ego God has. Well, think about it in terms of a father and a son. And a father, what is worship God? Tell Him how wonderful He is. You know, just doting on Him. Father, You're powerful. You're mighty. You're wonderful. You're good. I love You. That has never got old when my kids do that to me. Any moms and dads get old when your kids tell you they love you? You know, Caleb, he'll learn that this isn't the truth, but right now he thinks I'm the best at everything. And he tells me, Dad, you're the best hunter in the world. When we did that new song, you know, to try to learn it because it sounds different than how they do it live, you know, I sent Sarah and her a voice memo of me singing that song just so they could get the timing down when they come in. And Caleb was listening to it the other day, and he said, I just love this song because my dad's singing it. Oh, that really gets old, and I just hate that and stop that. When I shoot baskets, it makes me feel like I'm Michael Jordan. That's the truth. When I shoot guns, I feel like I'm Daniel Boone or something. You know, I'm just the best at everything. And he makes sure to tell me. He says, people ask, what do you want to be? A pastor. Why, Dad is. Amen. That doesn't get old. So that when you think of it in context like that, if the Father has how much more the ability to bless us, doesn't He have how much more ability to love and be loved as well? Amen. Worship Him. That's why I'm amazed. Even in a church service. And again, if this is you and you're just learning, fine. I'm not coming down on you. When we worship God in song and people just stand there. It's like, wait a second. Is He not real to you? Your Father? The opportunity to tell Him you love Him? Or are you just after the stuff He can get you? Amen. I don't mean just in here. I mean just in church in general. But the Bible says God is seeking that. Amen. You know what I can relate this to? You hear this at times with athletes and stuff who've gotten to pinnacles of their career, and they've had major setbacks where they lost a game, a big game, a Super Bowl, or a big playoff game, or they made the mistake that cost the team. And a lot of times if they have families, you'll hear them say, I just couldn't wait to get back home to my kids, because when I got back home to my kids, they just made me feel that didn't matter to them. And so it's almost like they were seeking. You better remember, God sees so much bad. Think about that. God sees so much bad on the earth. Well, those players, they experience something bad, and they want to go home where they're going to get loved on, where they're going to get doted on, where it doesn't matter that the ground ball went between their legs. It doesn't matter that dad threw an interception. Just go home and their kids love them. You know, I've had situations in the woods, or maybe I spooked a deer and did something stupid and messed up a hunting spot, or, you know, had a bad day. And man, I go home seeking those kids. And they run up to me when I come in and just throw themselves at me and love on me. It does something for me. It's almost like I'm seeking that out. Not to stroke my ego, but because I love it. Yeah. Amen. And the Bible says God seeks people that will worship Him, that will actually love on Him. That word seek, if you look that up in the Greek, is also the word to crave. You know, the only thing I can think of when it comes to the word crave is when women are pregnant. You know, I've dealt with one of them before. Twice! Her. And here's what's crazy about craving. So God is saying, I'm craving it. I'm craving somebody. I'm seeking somebody that will worship me. That's showing you how much He likes it, how much it means to Him. That means He doesn't want to go without it. Because when a pregnant woman's craving something, she don't want to go without what she's craving. She craved, was it Chinese with Caleb? Chinese food all the time. Let me tell you something. You want to keep the peace, you better have some Chinese food on hand all the time. Here's our example about craving. She literally went 16 years without drinking any kind of pop. She gave it up in high school. She was 18. 16 years. Got pregnant with Abby. That's all she wanted to drink was pop. So we always had pop. Well, just wasn't going to go without it. And God said, I don't want to go without my people. My children worship me. I'd hate to come home and have my kids not. Well, let me give you an example of it. This morning I came home. Of course, it's a story about Abby. And she's got the iPad on with her headphones on, sitting on the couch. And I come in, peek my head around the corner and smile at her. She literally looks up at me, looks back down, and starts playing. I said, my goodness. It broke my heart. I said, take those headphones off and get over here and hug me. He, every morning, he's up early, you know, and when I get up, every morning when I come into the kitchen, I hear the chair start swinging back and forth because he gets up and just comes right to me and throws his arms around me. Good morning, Dad. Love you. Love that stuff. Sure. We should do that to our dad. Amen. He loves that kind of stuff. He craves it. He seeks it. Not because he needs his ego stroked. God's not egotistical. That's right. Amen. We've talked about this stuff before, but it's a good reminder. Amen. Psalm 34 and verse 8. I want us to be the real deal around here, not surface Christians. When you get to a deep, intimate knowledge of God and relationship with Him, when hell breaks loose in your life, it don't move you. You know who Dad is, praise God. You know who Dad is. Psalms 34 and verse, what did I say? 8? Well, I lied. Verse 1. Psalm 34 and verse 1. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now look at this. He said, I want to bless God at all times. How's he going to do that? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What's he saying? It blesses God when we praise Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 63 again, we don't have to turn there, but Psalm 63 verse 4 says, thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Father, I'll lift my hands up because it blesses you. I'll lift my voice to you because it blesses you. Amen. Hallelujah. It blesses him, praise God. It blesses him to worship him. It blesses him to praise him, praise God. Psalm 22 and verse 3. It says, the Lord, Psalm 22 and verse 3, you are holy, O thou that inhabit or dwells in the praises of Israel. God makes his dwelling where we praise. Well, he's comfortable when we praise him. Comfortable enough to sit down and kick up his feet and make his dwelling when we praise him. Amen? Hallelujah. So, to worship him, it makes him comfortable, praise God. It blesses him. Hallelujah. And last but not least, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. And then we're gonna be doers of the word tonight when we close this message. And we're not going to just love on him for the healing we need. Although that comes with it, praise God. Or the prosperity. And there's nothing wrong with going to him for our needs. He invites us to do that. Amen? But if that's the only time we go, that's shallow. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, we're talking about worshiping God. David said, I will seek you, I'll bless you. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Worship and praise might not always be comfortable to the mind and the flesh, right? But the Bible calls it a sacrifice. What's a fat sacrifice? Doing something that you don't feel like doing. But you do it anyways. Amen? See, now get ready to be blasted with this one. Get your steel toes out. If you won't worship God, if you don't worship him, you are saying to him, you're not worth it to me. Because it says it's a sacrifice and it blesses him. You're saying you're not worth me stepping outside of my comfort zone for you. You're basically saying, Lord, I'll do whatever I want to do in my comfort zone, but to lift my voice, the Bible says it blesses you. To lift my hands, the Bible says it blesses you. I'm not going to do that because I'm uncomfortable. You're saying, Lord, you're not worth me being uncomfortable for. But you know what you've proven in your lifetime, up to this point in your life, most of you? That you are willing to do things that are uncomfortable and other things. How many times, or let me just ask you this, every single day of your whole life, have you woke up super pumped and excited to go to work? But the paycheck's worth it. And so you inconvenience yourself and get ready, even though you're tired and want to not do it and don't want to go there, maybe you don't like your job, but the money's worth it. So you inconvenience yourself. Any of you ever had pets or anything that require extra attention? Walk them in the rain, take them out to the bathroom, go feed them early in the morning. You don't feel like doing it, but they're worth it to you, so you inconvenience yourself. But God, to people, he's not worth inconveniencing themselves. Well, I don't want to worship him. I don't. So shallow. He's your dad. Why can't you love on him? He's wonderful, praise God. Come on, we inconvenience ourselves all the time for things that are worth it to us. Amen. Is God not worth it to you? Is God not worth it to you? Well, but I'm uncomfortable. Well, yeah, what's your point? See, I love what people say this. Well, God knows my heart. He does. But that is a shallow form of praise and worship. Well, Caleb could say, I don't have to tell Dad I love him. He knows. That works real good in marriages too, by the way. Oh, I'm never going to do anything for my spouse or tell them or be kind to them. They know. My kids, I'm not going to say anything. Oh, I'll try that with my kids too. Yeah, I'm never going to tell my children I love them or tell them how much I care about them. They know. That's ridiculous. Well, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. Yeah, but the Bible says he enjoys it when you actually lift your voice. He enjoys it when you actually will praise him and love on him. He likes it. And that's enough for me. That's enough for me to get my hands up and to get my mouth to talking. That's enough for me. I love him that much. Amen. to be driving down the road and just praising and singing to Him and loving on Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's practice tonight. Amen. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Father, we love You tonight. I'm going to go back there, Jake. I'm not sure what song I want, so I'm going to go back there. And we're going to put a song on. And I just want people to, if you have to pick this back up, and, you know, sometimes you have to rekindle a romance. You might need to rekindle the flame with God. Maybe at one time you loved on Him and you were worshiping Him. Or maybe you're just learning to say, you know what? I really don't ever tell God I love Him. And start tonight. Let's start a dialogue. Start a relationship with Him tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Just begin to praise Him. Oh, we love You so much, Lord. We love You. Say, what do I say? Just tell Him you love Him. Tell Him how good He is. Tell Him how thankful you are for all that He's done. Hallelujah.